Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Five Missourians have just received a $200,000 award for their vision, commitment, and promise to improve health and well-being in the state. It's the inaugural year of the Spark Prize that comes from the Missouri Foundation for Health, and three of this year's recipients are from St. Louis. Our next guest is one of those three St. Louis-based Spark Prize winners. Her name is Sierra C.J. Walker, and she's the founder and CEO of the Community Health Worker Coalition. C.J., welcome to St. Louis on the Air, and congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So one of the things that is part of your understanding of health is that you want it to be more than just hospital visits or clinic outcomes. Broadly, CJ, what does that mean?
Very broadly, we're aware through research and just our experience in human life that our health is heavily impacted by other things. Most of those other things in today's society are categorized as social issues or social drivers. We know that 80% of a person's health or their outcomes are actually focused on those issues. So when we think about someone being able to make it to a hospital or be adherent to their pharmacy needs, they have to have the things that they need socially, like safety or housing or income. So we believe that in order for someone to truly be able to focus on the most immediate health needs, we have to dig into some of those social concerns to ensure that they have that option.
Mm-hmm. Now, the organization that you founded and are leading is the Community Health Worker Coalition. What is this organization, and how does its work activate that understanding of health that you've just described?
It's one of my favorite questions. So I'm really grateful for the fact that this organization was started by 9 community health workers who trusted me to really steward the vision that they saw. So I serve as a founding CEO, and in that role, my desire and my posture is to lead from behind. So our CHWs actually set our strategic direction. So they take what they're seeing in their day-to-day action as they're serving their clients and their neighbors to help us better understand how do we support them to do their job and how do we support the systems to better support them as they're doing their jobs. Mm-hmm. So our organization, in the simplest way, positions itself as the CHW for our CHWs because we recognize that the helpers often need some help too.
Mm-hmm. How well known is this term, CHW? I mean, it feels like there's been some greater awareness and use of that term.
Yeah.
I mean, where is it now? And how well aware are people of it?
I really appreciate that question because truthfully, the answer varies. It depends on who you're speaking with and what part of the country you're in. I'll say our history spans back to the 1800s when we were starting in some of our international countries or those that might need the most immediate support. Actually, I spent quite a lot of time in Cape Town, South Africa, mm-hmm. and I worked alongside CHWs and they were called my person by the neighbor. In the United States, what we notice is that community health workers are increasing in their popularity as we continue to professionalize and standardize the workforce. So in our state, within our region, we have over 370 in St. Louis. We have a little over 700 in the state of Missouri. And there's a CHW in every single state in the United States currently. Mm-hmm. So we're still working on policy so that we can standardize a few things like certification and pay, but they're present. Sometimes we just got to dig a little deeper right now.
How did this come on your radar? I imagine that you did not go to South Africa in order to, right? I mean, or was it?
Correct, no, you're
me.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm a public health practitioner by trade. I love all things public health. I was actually in my undergrad program and I was supposed to graduate early, but everybody loves the college experience. So I'm like, oh,
sure.
Absolutely not. So the opportunity to study abroad came about and I was not even in the health field. I was a communications major and a business minor. When I went to South Africa, I was stunned by the ability for them to leverage business resources or lack thereof to create health outcomes. So I came back to my campus and I started to inquire. And one of my advisors said, why aren't you in health? I said, I don't know. So I changed my minor in the last semester, which also gave me some more time to stay on campus so I didn't have to leave. And I became a public health minor. After graduation, I did my major in public health at Emory University. And it was at that time that I started to understand that there was a world for community health. So I actually became a project manager at an organization here in St. Louis. I'm originally from Detroit. Mm-hmm. My husband moved here, and then I followed him about 8 months later. Well, that organization asked me to help them create a strategy for advocacy and membership, like coalition building, mm-hmm. for community health workers. So I was a project manager under the impression that I would build something that could last. Well, what I didn't know is that we were building a business. And our workforce asked me, would you mind stepping into the position of CEO? Mm-hmm. So we have built this from the ground up since 2018 and then formalized ourselves during the pandemic when we were labeled an essential workforce. Mm-hmm. So that is when we were necessary to start to position ourselves to really be ready for the call. And we have ever since.
Yeah. There are a couple of things that I'd like to marry in this question. One of them has to do with, you know, your business background and also the social entrepreneurship or entrepreneur, that goal.
Yeah.
What is important to understand about what entrepreneurism means when we're talking about community health, specifically in predominantly Black communities?
I want to be really thoughtful about this question because I spend a lot of time thinking about it because it guides my leadership. I think my immediate answer is there's a reason I am very intentional to say I'm a social entrepreneur, because the reason that I got into business is to ensure I can make effective social change. My team and our founders believe that social change is a team sport. So we are in the business of creating opportunities for us to make economic mobility real for those who really don't even know what that term means, right? The opportunity for us to not just think about solving an issue, which is what lies at the root of entrepreneurism, is the desire to see a problem, solve the issue, and to make profit from it. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, my desire is to do all of those things as long as it actually solves a social issue. So the way that our company works is that as we generate revenue, we invest it directly back into that 300, 700 plus of community health workers through their direct care. So if anyone was to get injured and their children needed support, we're able to do that. Or if they were to produce something that they needed some extra support and it can garner them revenue from their intellectual property, we help them so that they have themselves positioned to now create passive income.
Mm-hmm. CJ Walker is the founder and CEO of the Community Health Worker Coalition. We're talking today about the $200,000 prize that she has received as a Spark Prize winner. This is the inaugural year of Misery Foundation for Health's awarding this to people who are driving change around health across Missouri. So you have spoken about intellectual property as a revenue generator for community health workers. What do you mean by intellectual property? What is it that community health workers do that qualifies as that?
I believe that every human who has a thought or idea has valid intellectual property. And the truth is about how you leverage it and create it as a commodity or a resource for yourself or for others. The way our organization started is I would often sit at meetings and individuals would ask me to speak on behalf of a zip code or a particular disease, one that I might know about but actually wasn't a part of that true community. Well, now that I know I have over 100 CHWs at that time who do represent some of those areas, I will position them at the table, make them a contractor for a 1099 so they would be paid for the intellectual property that they share during that meeting. And we would also have our organization sign an NDA. So that way, if you did hear a great idea, you weren't able to move on it and create more revenue for yourself without the involvement of that CHW. Mm-hmm. So very low-level idea, but we've continued to scale that to create even additional opportunities for CHWs to really be thought leaders in their spaces.
Mm-hmm. You talked about health outcomes. What do you mean by that? Specific examples maybe that come from the work that's being done here in St. Louis?
Absolutely. So I'll give two health outcomes to us. It's difficult for me to give just a standard definition because they're often co-created with our patient, our client, or our neighbor. We want to be thoughtful about what does success look like for the person we're helping and not just bring all of our bias into what we think that person should do or value. So after we're able to figure out what that health outcome or the goal is, the CHW is able to take their lived experience and we're able to be really thoughtful about how we coach, support, and nurture the patient through the experience. I'll give an example from one of our founders. Her name is Brittany Betts. Brittany actually was living with a chronic disease that was undiagnosed and often refuted by providers for more than 12 years. Mm-hmm. The disease was called endometriosis. She also recognized that many other women were dealing with this mm-hmm. and didn't understand how to properly advocate for themselves. So in her role as a CHW, she was able to not only teach and help them around the terms of health education, but she also taught them their patient bill of rights so that when they saw a provider, they were aware of how they could ask questions. And to take it a step further, she would do house visits upon approval in order to go and see what were the circumstances. If we're providing you insulin, do you have working electricity? Is there enough space in your fridge? As we're talking about these healthy meals, what are the things that you're currently working with so I can create meals from what you have available and not what I think you should use? Mm-hmm. So some of those things to really act as, like I said, a part of a care team or relay race with our other providers in the health system. Those are some of the roles that our CHWs that we get to play to complete the care experience for a person. Mm-hmm. My organization, I'll give an example. Her name is Jasmine Kimbrough. Jasmine went through our CHW program twice because she's a single mom, a professional caregiver, just a host of roles. And life was lifing when she tried to complete the certification. Upon coming back, she realized, man, I could have used a little bit more support in getting through this program. She's now our CHW skills coach. Every single CHW that goes through the program connects with her. So we're checking in to make sure they're well. That's the helper helping model that I talked about. And when they graduate, she supports them in their upskilling pursuits so that they can get CEUs and continue to professionalize and scale the professional ladders.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about what the CHW program entails? You know, what is the time commitment? And what are some of the challenges that people face? And you've just mentioned one of them. What are some of the challenges people face because of the all the life that they're living in trying to become certified as a CHW?
So our program is a statewide program. You can find it at over 14 accredited colleges throughout the state. For St. Louis, we typically, our leading provider is the St. Louis Community College. It's been there since the inception. The program ranges from 14 to 20 weeks, 2 days a week, 3 to 4 hours a day. It can be a morning class that ranges from 8:30 to 12:30 or an evening class that's 6 to 9 p.m. The course models are national core competencies, and then we have state core competencies that are all centered around adult learning. So that way people are able to do field experience, merge their lived experience, and also do a little bit of specialty practice, whether that's outreach or preventative health, as they are in the course. Mm-hmm. After that, they then are able to get their state credential, and that state credential they renew every 2 years.
Yeah. This $200,000 award from the Missouri Foundation of Health is specifically not a lifetime achievement award, but it is for you, and it's up to you to choose what you want to do with it. What are your plans for that funding?
So my plans for the funding are to be really intentional. I preach often about the need for rest for us to be whole leaders. So I do plan to really be intentional and take some time just to pause and think about what our next phase could look like. I also plan to celebrate with my team. This award is possible because I have 300 community health workers who have trusted me, 9 founders who decided that this organization was necessary, and a team of just 6 mm-hmm. who are willing to show up every day in order to get this done. So there will be a large celebration for our CHWs just so that we have the chance to love on each other and get the fuel that we need. Yesterday, I was told that sometimes a spark needs a little bit of oxygen to ignite. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly the posture that I'm thinking about right now. Each of the 5 of us have talked individually about what we plan to do, and the responses vary. So excited to see the transformation that comes from all of us.
Yeah. Joy is also very explicitly part of what you are trying to bring.
Yeah.
Can you give an example of how, you know, CHWs are putting that into their practice of community health?
Absolutely. I keep referencing my team because they're my greatest role models. Ryan Smith and Thalia Ruiz Baker, both of them represent two distinct communities. One of them is a St. Louis native, another is from Puerto Rico. And what we've learned is that when you can be a realistic, a tangible role model for someone who sees themselves in you, you change lives without even ever having to talk to that person. And our CHWs are just that. They're realistic role models that go home every day to different neighborhoods, and people see, wow, I've seen you get this job. I've seen you scale the ladder. I've seen you make change. How do you do it? How can you help me? And I want to do the same thing. So it becomes this large collective impact simply by people deciding I want to make a change. I believe it can happen for me. And let's work from the inside out with this workforce to get it done.
Mm-hmm. And the joy comes in?
The joy is because they're happy when they do it. I mean, pure bliss. Like,
right.
I've been smiling this whole time. I wish people could see me, but it doesn't even feel like working because it's our life's calling.
Mm-hmm.
CHW is who we are, not what we are.
Mm-hmm. I'd like some of that joy, too. Thank you
it.
Very much. Sierra CJ Walker is the founder and CEO of the Community Health Worker Coalition. She's one of five recipients of the inaugural SPARK Prize from the Missouri Foundation for Health. CJ, congratulations again, and thank you for talking with us.
My pleasure.
Today's episode was produced by our executive producer, Alex Hoyer.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.